following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want to ask you to just turn your attention back to that scene that we're talking about. Joy and I were talking about this today, and it's one of those little parts of the story that I just kind of took notice of this time. I did the math on when the angel spoke to Mary and said to Mary, your relative Elizabeth is she's along the ways in her pregnancy. And then you put that number together with how long Mary stayed with her. And she was out of Nazareth and away from all the scorn that would have been coming to her for a number of months. And she's back, it seems like, just long enough for the decree to come out from Caesar Augustus that tells everyone, go home. It wasn't just be counted. They could have done that where they were. It was go home, go back to where you came from and live there. And there's reasons for that. But that would have put Mary back about the time that it was time to leave for Bethlehem. I think that was merciful of God to let Mary spend as little time as she could in Nazareth as she began to show. Now, Joy brought out 3 months, honey. She's showing when she shows up back in Nazareth. But it was really, well, it was further along than that, probably 7, 8 months. So she's, do you show when you're 7 or 8 months? Oh, yeah. So she's on the way home. Anyway, but I want to bring your attention to one verse in the story that we had the Jasmine and Joey read to us. And it's just that one statement that the angel made to the shepherds. And he tells them this in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. He says, the angel then said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy, 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 which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David the Savior, who's Christ the Lord. So the angel says, cheer up, shepherds, because he's here. He's here among us. He's here right now. And it makes me think about all those big words that show up in advertisements. They show up on street corners. They show up in Christmas cards this time of year. And so I want to show you some of these. As you're walking through the marketplace, has anybody been in the marketplace lately? Oh, yeah. You've been camping in the marketplace like we all have. The big words of Christmas show up on baby bags. Now, these were not Christmas bags, but as I was walking through Burlington, I saw these and I thought, that could be it. Could be a Christmas bag, except it should be blue, right? The gender reveal on this little boy is blue. He's a boy. So, sweet baby, I like this one. That's what we say Christmas. Hello, baby boy. We say hello to Jesus. And then this one, new baby. Welcome to the world, little one. What kind of world? The world he made. It's the world he made. And there was a handful of people that actually did welcome him. But the other Christmas words that show up this time of year, miracle is in the air. Blessed beyond measure. I like that. That's good any time of the year. Oh, holy night. And this one, I don't know how this one made it into all the Christmas plaques. Somebody has been messing with the arrangement, and it wasn't me. I just shot it where I found it. And then, I'm not going to let you see that too long. I went looking for nativities at that big box store that starts with wall and rhymes with smart, and I couldn't find one single nativity scene, but we've got Santa Claus in the outhouse, and maybe that's the only place you could find peace that time of year. But these ones, these are the big words, the Bible words that we find all over the place. Peace on earth. You find love everywhere you see it. You find peace and hope and joy and Noel. And it's interesting, I'll show you in this next one, that peace, there's peace and joy, but peace, where is it? Peace is here somewhere. Peace, where did my peace go? I've lost my peace. There it is. $4.48 for your peace. The reindeer right next to it costs about $7.98, but you can get peace and a deal for $4.48. So there's all these wonderful words around Christmas time. And that's one of my favorites. That's in our neighborhood. And Joy's name, my beautiful bride Joy, her name shows up all over the world this time of year in every single language. So those are the words of Christmas, and you see them all over the place. But there's another word of Christmas that I know is one of your absolute favorites. 50% off sale. I know you love those words, but the big word that I want to focus on today is the word joy. I really want to talk about the joy of Jesus. And here's the angel saying to these frightened shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. I love the translation that says, I bring you good news that will lead you to great joy. See, it's not just the news that brings us joy. It's the response to the news. You might have already heard that Jesus has come, but if you haven't responded to that and come to him, well, then you don't know the joy of Jesus. You might have something in place of the joy of Jesus. But I love the fact that in that passage, it says, don't be afraid. It's good tidings of great joy. And it says, for everyone. You know what the idea of that statement to those Jewish shepherds is this. It's not just for you. It's for the Jewish people for sure, but it's for all people. Another way to translate that Greek word behind the word people is all nations. In other words, everybody, everywhere. So anybody that has ever thought that the Jesus celebration and that the life of people in Christ, or the Christianity, if you want to use that phrase, is just for white folk, they have not looked closely enough at the scripture. It's for all men everywhere. It's not just a white Christmas. It's a Christmas for all races, all nationalities, all people, men and women and kids, everywhere, forever. And this one, this thought has really captured me this season. And I, as often happens, and you guys know this because I'm always coming up with a new Christmas song, it seems. And so this is a new Christmas song, and I'm going to ask you guys to sing it with me. Let me see. I got to step on a pedal here first. Now, here's the part that you're going to sing. If we could put that that one up. Oh, and these guys are going to help me. We've been practicing this for at least 10 minutes, and these guys are so good. They nailed it. I want you to go to the chorus first. So you're going to sing, the glory of God came down, the glory of God came down, and then rejoice, rejoice, lift up a shout. Oh, the glory of God came down. Let's try it. Oh, the glory of God came down. The glory of God came down. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. I'm not hearing you. Let's try it. Rejoice, rejoice, lift up a shout. Oh, the glory of God came down. Here's a song. Late in December, a long time ago, God shared a secret so the whole world could know. South of Jerusalem, in Bethlehem town, oh, the glory of God came down. Everybody sing with me. The glory of God came down. The glory of God came down. Rejoice, rejoice, lift up your shout. Oh, the glory of God came down. And they say the angels sang at his birth of glory to God and his peace on this earth. When the king wrapped in rags came without a crown and the glory of God came down. Here we go. Oh, the glory of God came down. The glory of God came down. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Lift up a shout. For the glory of God came down. Here's his names. Let's sing these. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God is he. Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Jesus Emmanuel, God's love is all around. Oh, the glory of God came down. Oh, the glory of God came down.
Oh, the glory of God came down, down. Rejoice, rejoice, lift up a shout. For the glory of God came down. Last verse. Now late in December, we've gathered to sing of this child in the manger and the joy that he brings. And we pray for his peace over our humble town. May the glory of God come down. The glory. Oh, the glory of God came down. The glory of God came down. Rejoice, rejoice, lift up a shout. For the glory of God came down. Let's all stand and sing that one more time. The glory of God. Oh, the glory of God came down. The glory of God came down, down, down. Rejoice, rejoice, lift up a shout. For the glory of God came down. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, lift up a shout. For the glory of God came down.
Well done, well done. Have a seat. Thank you, guys. The Marino Brothers. I'm so thankful for the musicians in this fellowship here. So I want to talk about this joy thing for just a minute. And joy's got a lot of synonyms. The most important element of joy is that I married her. And I don't know if I'm smart, but I stumbled into that one, and I'm so thankful that I did. And but the different synonyms for joy, as you could look it up yourself, you don't need to do it right now. Happy, obviously. Blessed. Words like enjoy. I was talking to a couple of friends of mine that I see sometimes across the street at an unnamed caffeine store over there. And it's Noe is the man, and his wife is Philippa. And they're Spanish-speaking people, and I was kind of gathering different ways to say the word joy. I looked it up last night, and I was hoping they would just confirm that what I looked up was accurate. But what I looked up, joy was, oh, and see, now I can't even remember it, because what they told me was something completely different, which also I can't remember. But Philippa said this. She said, well, you know, it depends on what Spanish you're speaking. Spanish from Spain is different from Spanish here, and Spanish in Mexico, and Spanish in different almost dialects and down in South America, and it's just all over the map. But she was saying, well, it's a very difficult language. And her husband, Noé, said, oh, is it? And they've been married a long, long time, well over 20 years, I think. They've got some older kids. I said, oh, is it that hard? Well, tell me how hard it is. And this is it. I think I started a war there in the coffee shop, but it was really interesting to me. That I said, so tell me what word, if I was going to say to you, my heart is filled with joy. And she said, well, it would be kind of the same as talking about I'm enjoying my coffee. It would be basically the same word. And I thought, that's perfect. I never thought about that way. You know, when we say we're enjoying something, we're doing something that brings us happiness. We're doing something maybe that lifts our spirit. How many of you are going to enjoy? Maybe I shouldn't ask this because some hands might not go up. But how many of you are without shame going to enjoy the gathering of your family tomorrow or tonight? That's not enough hands. That's a little bit scary. But it's what lifts you. It's what blesses you. And so happy and blessed and enjoyment and rejoicing. Words even like excitement. And this one, contented. And it's not the contentment that comes from just giving up on ever finding happiness. You're ever finding joy. Looking around and just thinking, oh, I don't like this, but it's probably as good as it's ever going to get. And you just resign yourself to a lower level of happiness or peace or contentment. No, it's the contentment that comes from saying, I've got everything I need and what? And more, even. I wonder how many of you have said to one another, husbands and wives or parents to kids, you don't usually hear this coming from the kids, especially when they're young. But when you say to one another, honey, what would you like for Christmas? And Joy and I have both said this to one another, and we really mean it. We said, you know, I don't need what? Anything. I've got more than what I absolutely need already. I've got more than enough. You know, it's that kind of contentment when you look and you think, wow, God, you've blessed me with an overflowing blessing, blessed beyond measure, like one of the signs that we looked at said. But here's what I've noticed about people like me. What am I? Well, I'm a preacher. You know what preachers do? When we get onto the joy, yes, we preach. What we do when we get onto the difference between joy and happiness, we'll say something like this. Well, happiness is like temporary, and it's shallow, and it's surface. It's like, I'm happy. I'm happy because my football team won. One game out of 16. That's all my football team has done this year. One game out of 15. And I was happy that day, but not too happy because it's a pitiful season for the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's all I'm going to say about the town I was forced to be born in. But we say happy is this shallow and temporary thing. And joy is that deep and lasting thing. But I'll tell you something. There's an awful lot of us that would really love happiness on the way to joy. And sometimes it just seems it's so elusive. Yeah, about this time of year, actually starting when you round the corner into the holiday season, it seems like four or five or even more magazines and journals have decided to put a cover story up on happiness. Where can you find happiness? And everybody wants to know. It's one of the main quantity or main commodities that we all want. Who wants to live a bummed out, sad life, a pitiful life? And on almost all those articles, they'll tell you something like this. You got to make a choice about this or that and what you're going to allow to get to you. You got to make a choice on what you're after in life. Everybody is after happiness. Everybody is after joy in one way or another. But I'll tell you, if there's a scale from excitement to happiness to joy to delight and then beyond blessed and blessed beyond measure, I want to keep moving up that scale, don't you? I want to live the life that God wants me to live. True happy is pretty good on the way to that overflowing joy. In fact, it says in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. I want to say three things to you about happiness, and I'll say them very, very quickly. Joy is a result of something else. You don't go shopping for joy and buy it by the bucket full or even by the ounce full. Joy comes as a result of something else. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. But joy is also a response. It's choosing today. Yes, those people that wrote the magazine articles, they're right. You have to make a decision to be joyful, the decision to be contented. I love the two Psalms. One is David, and we don't know for sure who the other one is. But in both of them, side by side, here's the phrase, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. I will yet praise him. There's a choice that needs to be made, even in the midst of dark, dark times. And I don't say that lightly, because I know many of you are walking through dark, dark times and difficult times. You're in the middle of situations you would never have chosen on your own. But there you are. And like David and like the other songwriter, we have to make the same decision. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, what have you got to be bummed out about? You have breath, you have life. I've heard people say, if I wake up in the morning and there's not a tag on my toe, it's a good day. I'm alive, and I'm alive for a purpose. And if I wake up, well, I won't be waking up, but if there is a tag on my toe, that means I'm even in a better situation because I'm home with him. Although that might cause a little bit of sadness for people on this side. But I have to make the decision. I have to make the choice. Joy is a result of a choice. It's a result of somebody else's presence as well. And I want you to think about that with me for a minute. I've already drawn your attention to the fact that the angel said to these shepherds, rejoice because of a presence. Not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but because of the presence of the Messiah. He's here, the one you've waited for, the one you've longed for. How many of you absolutely love to wait? Anybody love waiting? Anybody love waiting in long lines at all the markets and all the bookstores and even the coffee shops? Anybody really love waiting in traffic on the 405? No one loves to wait. I go to the corner to cross the street when I'm walking, and I don't just hit the button once. And is anybody else with me? Come on. It's not doing any good, but it feels good to me to hit the button at least two or three times. And it's, you know what it tells me down on the corner of Golden West and Edinger? I hit the button, and that stupid speaker says, wait, just like that. You hit it again, it seems to get louder. Wait, I said, wait. I hate to wait. We all do. But they had waited so long, and then the angel says, what you've waited for is here. And he's come in the form of a baby. Now, last service when I was talking about the baby, right in the back door, there was a mama standing there with a baby that had to be close to the size of the baby that these shepherds met that night, the Lord Jesus, when they met him. And it was just a perfect, I wish we had a baby standing back there, a mama standing with a baby. But the result of the choice and the result of the presence of the Messiah, joy is a response. It comes from the presence, responding to the presence of Jesus. And some of you are thinking, okay, well, how will I know that? Well, he's here right now. You couldn't escape from him. I love David's psalm where he says, if I try to run from you, who am I kidding? I can't get away from you. If I climb the highest mountain, if I plunge to the depths of the sea, you're everywhere. Why don't I just face you and let you do what you want in my life? Right now, you're in a sense right here in the presence of God who's brought you here this afternoon so you could hear that he wants you to come closer. That he loves you. You are loved by a God in heaven who sent his son for you. And this time of the year, this is the easiest part of the Jesus story to cozy up to. When we see a baby and we welcome the baby boy who's come to our world, but we know where he's going. And we know on the other side of the story, there's a place called Golgotha, a place called Calvary. There's a cross that he'll take for us and die for our sins so that we can live forever with him. But he came to give us this hope and this peace and all those big words of Christmas. The word glory, when the glory of God came down upon this world, he came with all that for us. Joy comes in a package deal, and all of it is bundled up with Jesus. Have any of you ever bought a device or a piece of electronics that comes bundled with this and that and this program and these apps? How many of you have bought? You bought phones and the whole. How many of you have bought a phone? Let's just be honest about it. An Apple product that comes, it has to be plugged into the wall, and it comes with a cord that's about this long, you know? And so if you want to use it while it's charging, you got to be sitting almost leaning against the wall that it's plugged into. You know, when I say that Jesus comes with all of this bundled together, the hope and the joy and the peace that you've been looking for all of your life, even if your life is only 13 years old right now, the peace you're looking for, the hope, and the love, and the forgiveness, because we're all hoping for forgiveness, because we've all done things that sometimes we even ourselves think that's absolutely unforgivable. All of that is bundled up in Jesus because God wants you to be even beyond happy. He wants you to be filled with his joy. He wants you to be filled with his peace. He wants you to be content and joyful and blessed in every way. He wants all of us, and I love this. It comes out of the old, I think it's the Westminster Catechism, which I have never studied in depth. But it's one of the questions, what is the purpose of man? Or what is the end of man, the aim, the purpose of man? And the answer that you're supposed to give to the question is this, to love God and to enjoy him forever. You know, as a kid growing up in church, I never thought about the idea of enjoying God. I was just trying to keep him from being angry with me. I had no idea he loved me like he loves me. Because I hadn't spent enough time looking at the cross. If you ever wonder if God loves you, look at the cross. If you ever wondered whether or not God hates sin, you want to know what God thinks about sin? Well, look at the cross. That's what it cost him to extend his love and bundle up all of those wonderful attributes together in that one package in Christ and give it to us. You are so perfectly loved by God. And so we invite We're invited, just like the shepherds and just like the wise men, to come and rejoice in the Lord. And like Paul will say, rejoice in Jesus. And again, I say, can't say it enough. Just keep rejoicing. So I think that rejoicing and that praise that we're talking about is such an attractive and a magnetic thing. You know, many of you have seen something about another person. Well, if you're married, you certainly did. Something that attracted you to them. Maybe it was just the physical beauty. Maybe it was the inner beauty and the character that you saw. And you thought, oh, I want that. Oh, I want to know that woman. I want to know that man. And so you pop the question. But you're attracted. I think joy is one of the most attractive elements of what the Christian life is all about. And maybe you've been standing in a line one time and somebody ahead of you. And joy will do this all the time. She'll start a conversation with somebody in line around us. And I'll do it sometimes too, but joy is on it almost every time. She'll find a point of connection. Oh, nice blouse. I love that blouse. Where did you get it? Well, I love that hat. Where'd you get it? I'll say, hey, dude, I love your beard. Would you trade with me, please? My beard doesn't come in as I wish it would for the shepherd of Bethlehem. But you know, has anybody ever said to you, oh, you got so much joy. Where did you get that? Or where can I get some of that? If you're ever asked that question, and Joy loves to wear her name on her sweater this time of year, go check. Now, let me say this differently. Go talk to her. Don't check her out. But you go talk to her after the service and take a look at the little beautiful joy pin that she's wearing. She says people will ask her all the time, oh, that's beautiful. And she'll say, yes, it reminds me to put Jesus first, others second, and myself last. Jesus, others, and you. And bam, she's in. She's in with an open door. So the next time somebody says to you, and hopefully they will, where'd you get that? That joy, that gladness. Oh, that? Oh, I got that from Jesus. But I got it on a trade. I had to trade him my sin and my sadness and all my sorrows and all that bondage I was in. I traded that to him, and it was a great exchange. And I get his joy, and I get his peace, and I get his forgiveness. And that's for you too. I go back to the shepherds as we close here. And I was thinking about these guys this last couple of days too, that they needed the reminder to rejoice because they weren't rejoicing at the moment. And this is the thought that hit me. Of all the bands of shepherds that the angels could have disturbed that night who were watching over their flocks, why that band of shepherds? I don't think they wasted their time. I wouldn't be surprised to find out, of course I can't be conclusive, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out that they were maybe at a time in their life that they might describe as just one of the most rotten times they'd ever been through. Maybe the hardest times they'd ever seen. Maybe things weren't going their way. And the angels went to them to give them this magnificent news that your Savior has come to change everything for you. And you can praise him. The angel said, rejoice now. Lift up your voice like we just sang a moment ago and rejoice. And think about this. Those shepherds are down in the shepherd fields that are the same fields where Boaz, if you know the biblical story of Ruth, Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, where all of that story happened, and Ruth and Naomi met their Redeemer, Boaz, who changed their life and changed Naomi's name from bitter to joyful. And she became a praiser once again. I love the passage in Isaiah 61, verse 3. It says, put on a garment of praise. He gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that, my friends, is a choice. It's a choice to decide today to rejoice over the gift of Jesus, who came as a baby and went from Bethlehem to Golgotha. Follow him. Read the story afresh for yourself this year and see what Jesus did for you. But I beg you, don't let Christmas just be something that you get done. You know what I'm saying? Don't let it just be something that it was a thing to check off the list. Okay, we're done with that. Now on to New Year's, and then on to Valentine's Day. Don't let it be something that gets you down. I know it's a hard time of the year. But choose this year to look at Christmas as something that God got done for you as he sent his son for you. So rejoice. Trade your sin and your sadness for his joy and for his peace. Okay, let's drop the lights, all the lights out, except the lights that you have lit. You're going to cut all the lights in the house. Stage lights, cell phone lights, all the lights, and even this light up here, the spots would be great to bring those down. The angel said, rejoice. Don't be afraid. The baby's been born. He's here among us. I want to ask you tonight to respond to his presence, and maybe you've never done that. Maybe you're still walking around with a load of guilt or shame or regret. Maybe you're even hoping nobody else ever finds out about that. God already did. And because he knew about that, he sent his son to something like that horrible-looking cross that we always focus on. And I would just ask tonight if there's anybody here that has never just simply thanked Jesus Christ for dying for your sins on the cross and made that adjustment of your life. The Bible calls that repenting. It just means get on the right track and start following him. You'll never know the depth of peace and joy, love and hope that God wants you to know. Without Christ, it comes bundled in him, like I said. So I want to pray, and in a moment I'll give you an opportunity to respond as well. So Father God, we want to thank you that Christ the Savior is born, and Christ the Savior went to a cross for us. He served and he loved and he helped so many, and then he helped us all on that cross. So Lord, we thank you for the revelation of your love in Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now that those that need to make a response to you, that this would be the moment that they say yes, Father God, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you, if I just described you as someone who's ready to say, Jesus, take what's left of my life, maybe you would even say something like, this life that I've messed up, that I've wrecked, would you please forgive me, come live in me, and teach me what life is all about as I follow you. If that's you tonight, I want to ask you to do something very simple. Take your candle very carefully, just raise it up in the air. If that's you tonight and you just know you need to make a response to Jesus and say, here's my life, Lord, here's my life. Lift it up high. Okay, I see the candles going up in a bunch of different areas here. And I want to ask you to pray. The Bible says this. Here's how you get saved. Call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. So I want you to pray with me. And the congregation is going to pray out loud as well. But say these words from your heart to your God, at least as loud as a whisper. Not just in your head, but say them at least as loud as a whisper. Say this, Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ, born at Christmas, who went to a cross for me because of my sins. I have sinned. Please forgive me. I turn my life over to you. Teach me to live for you. I thank you for the gift of your Son. My life belongs to you. In Jesus' strong name, I'm yours. Amen. 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 Don't clap, anybody. We usually be clapping them. Don't clap right now. But I will ask those of you who just prayed that prayer, maybe for the very first time, or just as a prayer of the recommitment of your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to lift that candle up and now bring it down and blow it out. You. Now, the rest of you, I'm going to walk down quickly. How many of you came to Jesus somewhere in the last 10 years? 10 years out up to the prayer. Lift those candles. I got to light my candle again. Why did I blow mine out? Lift your candle if that was you. Lift it up there high. Now bring it down and blow it out. If it's 30 years or less, 30 years or less, lift it up. All right. Same in the last service. 30 years ago was a pretty decent stretch there. Bring them down and blow them out. Okay, here we go. Now, remember, I'm not just asking for your age, okay? This is how long you've been walking with Jesus. 50 years or less. 50 years. Lift it up. I got to blow mine out right now. Here we go. Wow. Okay, I'm going to say 70 years or more, 70 years or less that you've been walking with Jesus. Lift that candle up if that's you. And then bring it down and blow it out. Thank you for years and years of faithfulness. And I see a few young faces behind the candles that just like candles, I think. Everybody blow out your candles. And let me say this to you. What would the world be like without your light? What would it be like in Huntington Beach without your light? See, that's what we get to go do right now. We talked about it on Sunday. We're going to turn around. We're going to go out the entrance doors into our field of ministry together to be His light and His life and His love in this world. So we better bring the lights back up real quick so we don't stumble over each other on the way out. And may I say to you, may God richly, richly bless you this Christmas as you ponder this wonderful story of Jesus. And let's go share it with somebody and tell them where we got our joy. Grace and peace and love and light and life to you in the strong name of Jesus. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.